Welcome to TCI Transmissions, an experimental soundscape of things that sound nice and might help you make other things. This episode features excerpts of a longer interview by Michelle Luke with Lonnie Holly. Lonnie is an African-American visual artist and musician. He was born on February 10, 1950 in Birmingham, Alabama, and has devoted his life to the practice of improvisational creativity.
What kind of created on that stage, it looks like life itself, humans' involvement with life, and what do one do when they want to see a betterment for life, how that betterment comes about, whether it's through material sources or physically being involved. A lot of times, my thing as an artist and a musician, my words had to come out of that same brain production, same thought patterns, same makeup. So as far as political is concerned, I think when I talk about a clogged up drain that won't allow the water to flush out of a city that would flood it, it's more like political, because I'm caring about that beyond the footsteps. Again, the footsteps is very important, the marchers, the contributors. I think what has been exampled it for us as political protesting has been when we find out that something need our support, we get behind it and put pretty well all our life into it. So as far as my kind of working as an artist, coming through the civil rights era itself, the growth of what African Americans, blacks, colors, all the way back to the Negro days of participating together to allow something to happen for the betterment of everybody. Seeing that betterment, seeing it develop, seeing almost like being on the back stage and all the other stages of these activities has occurred and happened and turned into historical events and got their pedestals or got their opportunities to be on the walls of history, historical information. And so much of that we've lost. We lost so much. My thing as an artist and singing something like I Woke Up in a Fucked Up America is that every day, for a lot of us in America, every day, since the ships rolled in from Africa, with them being chained and bound, those that made it, because that was a harsh journey from Africa to wherever, the islands or America or wherever. And then to get here, And then to be brought into a kind of captivity. You can't go anywhere because America was this great big island. Once you got on it, and you didn't have boats, or you didn't have no way, you didn't have the tools to build what you needed to get off of it. It was like you were stranded. So now you're having to live with it and develop your very, very best. And I think that's what I'm doing as an artist also. I'm developing my very, very best to show that these are the things that we had. These are our opportunities, human. This is what I'm saying. I'm representing something that is so unique, so special. And it's called our African-Americanism. Just having that, African-American, artist, African-American, man, African-American, father, African-American, brother, African-American, son, you see what I'm talking about, African-American thinker, African-American in the ocean of thought. I try to sing about what our possibilities are. What a zillion grains of sand. A zillion grains of sand. Just a little bit. We can use them up so fast. We can take them right outside of this dough and say we're going to construct ourselves a building. And use all of those grains of sand in mortar alone. In the mortar to construct and build the buildings and bricks, and those same zillions of grains of sand can also go into casting the cast iron. Whatever else that need to be cast, we can use that sand to cast it all the way down to the smallest, most technical necessity, the reality of what we, a lot of people call hell, is being without or not knowing how to benefit from what's around us. Hell could be an absence of appreciation. Hell could be someone had not loved you enough to let you know that your brain is the most important thing about your humanism. Hell could be coming out the door and you're broke and you have no money to buy a meal or find a bed to sleep in or pay for it. Hell is being less, homeless, less. This is a powerful word, but we don't just use it as less. You're less, you're less. You see what I'm saying? We always gonna put homeless, moneyless, powerless. For our arts have been our support. It's like if somebody's crippled, they need a walking stick or a walking cane or a crutch. And our art has been those things for us. Our art, but the whole thing about African-American art, or how much of it got through our way, again, the way we did it. My thing is recollecting how easily an idea can be taken from the African-American. And somebody else get a hold to that idea, shine it up, clean it up, sparkle it, paint it, glitterify it, and then it's got a value. This is what was happening over and over and over again. Our contributions were just shined up, painted, and made to look better by somebody else's hand. But it was always our plan. It was our plan. But a lot of times, if you look at somebody, I'm going to have to example a few artists in here. Someone like Mr. Thornton Dow, another artist I think great, Ronald Lockett. I'm thinking of some other artists like the Cheese Bean Quilters. We was exempling the little bitty pieces of something, just like the piece, the thing that you have on. I really love what you came to meet me in. Because we're taking it to the digital now. It's no longer that we got to use all of your little fragments and your little pieces of debris down to the particle. We've already done that. If you look at the contributions, my thing is, I know the truth. But how the truth has been documented to make a lie stand out as a lie. For one thing, the periods of time. If you say African American artists, came into America, we had these thoughts and values in our brain cells and in our DNA, and we did these different things and we developed them, and we still use parts of those things because they was in our DNA. Constructive manner of any type of art, from the pigmentation of the colorization all the way to what? The placement of every little thing. We was afraid of it because it might have had some animal hide in it. It might have had animal teeth in it. It might have had little fragments of bones and all these other things that was mixed in onto a piece of leather, and it was on a jacket, or it was something carved out of wood, and we had a few other things attached to the wood, made it become found objects or objects that was put together, objectivity. Again, now how all of those materials and things fitted into our way of helping the process or the fight or the struggle, because we took those things of the aftermath of the events that had occurred and we made art out of them. We put them on the wall like all of these oil wells that you see behind me. But also I see the drive-in theater. If you can look at the screen way back there, I'm seeing it's a screen for a drive-in theater. Then from there to that one over there, and then if you look up to hold your head up high enough, you can see the reflecting of that in that without that even being on. But how do we see that deep? How do we care that deep? Because of our ancestors. I think maybe 10 and a half, I was put in this place called Alabama Industrial School for Negro Children. I was ordered there, and all the other children of Birmingham was ordered there by Bull Connor off the streets. He gave a curfew. And there, my parents or nobody else didn't know where I were. And they just locked us all up. But there, I got a whipping every day for not knowing how to pick cotton. My thing, when it comes down to the children that's at the border now, and the treatment that they're possibly or maybe getting, if it's just harsh enough to say, shut your damn mouth, or get over in there, this is just a treatment, get behind, you understand, you got them locked behind, it's a condition that you will never forget. These are conditioning that we're putting humans in a mental state. That's the reason why it's very important for me to sing out, please, please, let's gain our focusing ability. Let's gain our posture of being true to what we said. I'm not going to let nothing in a sense distract me to the point that I'm going to kill it, or we're going to kill each other. The thing about what we are being distracted to right now is more like in school violence, in institutions. When you start breaking down the character of institutions where humans that's going into these institutions cannot get along with each other, Man, that's bad. That is really bad. And then you think about the materials that is being are suffering from that. Not only the jobs, but the quality of our value, the quality and quantity of our values. The depths of my thinking, I do often and still I often cry about it because I feel that nobody don't care about what I'm saying or singing. And I know I'm way beyond my family's value of my thoughts. I'm way beyond what, again, I did this piece on the other side of the pulpit because I was beyond what the churches thought that I should. I'm not an amen man. I'm not interested in coming in there and just reading things about what other people historical documentation are. Whatever that was documented about that person's life way back then. I'm not interested in walking through museums every day just looking at what other artists has created. I'm interested in what I'm creating. I'm interested in what I'm creating all the way down to, again, you saw it a few minutes ago, but it's important for me to get that point across. And I think, again, I think Matt Arnett and William Arnett and whoever else has been a part of me getting my works into the different museums. Now, as far as that type of atmosphere or attitude that I went into the museums through were more like through the back door, meeting the director. So I came in through the back door, meeting the director, not through the front door. I wasn't coming through all the art that was on exhibit. I was coming in through the back door, showing the director what I had, not what I had saw of somebody else. Again, I have to cry about it because I'm alone in this endeavor. I don't think nobody else can go there with me. I can't take nobody there with me. So I have to go there when I go to sleep. I'm wondering. I'm trying to see what is the fire, what is the effect of the fire. And then I'm looking at it's finna rain. I'm looking at the moisture because of the heat. The heat is rising. So there's a cloud of heat that is going somewhere and doing something to the levels of the mountains that actually is snow-capped and ice is capped it. Now this ice and this snow is melting much, much faster, so that's going to cause a great amount of landslide because the land is going to be burnt bald. And once the land be burnt bald, and then there is going to be a certain amount of sickness because of the fire burning different creatures, and then the creatures themselves eating or partaking from the carcass of dead that has been dead, or this dead that is now that have to be washed away. Is a lot of things that once these things occur, and then seeing the many snakes that is crawling, the little things that's crawling in, and all these things needing support of their lifespans or needing to eat, needing to drink. There is no water. Water now has been turned into ash dust, has been turned into chalk from the burning of the different types of wood. So there is bad water in the hood. It's the right song to sing right now. Not for Flint, Michigan, but for America missing it. So that's the way it come to be a song, because Americans missing, you don't miss your water until well burned dry. These kind of things. So
And again, I get, my whole thing is I constantly call my grandmother's spirit and my mother's spirit. My mother had given birth to 27 children out of her 32 pregnancies. I'm thinking that's one of the strongest, more formation of brain strength than I ever saw in my life. I'm looking at my grandmother in her 80s, working for Poole Funeral Home, digging graves for three of the little girls that got bombed in the 16th Street Baptist Church. Not only the honor, but also I'm woman. I may not go down to Kelly Ingram Park and be a foot soldier like that, but I'm going to go up to that graveyard and I'm going to dig those children grave and I'm going to be a foot soldier like that. And I'm going to go to the city lot or the landfill and I'm going to put up with that hot, burning, pitiful manner and I'm going to rake and scrape as much as I can out of that hole. And then here come my grandson coming out of Alabama Industrial School for Negro Children, where he had the hell whooped out of him every day for not knowing how to harvest or pick cotton or load watermelons on a wagon or pick peanuts or pecans out of the field. It was so many things that get your ass in the corner. And there I was in the corner, and that's where I cried. But in that corner, what grabbed those tears and dried them up, I moved away from humans and I moved to the music that was coming from the jukebox. And that soothed me. Even though these issues that I have to deal with humanly, now I have to, because I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all these other kind of ways of, so many ways. Lonnie Holly, Lonnie Holly, Lonnie Holly, Lonnie Holly, Lonnie Holly, Lonnie Holly, Lonnie Holly. Okay, so it's Lonnie Holly, but how many likes have we got from just putting I Woke Up in a Fucked Up America on, I think, about a week and a half ago? Almost 25,000 people's liked it that already. And I don't know none of those people by their name. You gain friends from what you do. That is the truth. See, we as humans are no more than history words that need to be printed. So instead of us acting and playing and allowing ourselves to be used as the dummies of the quicksand fields of stupidity, we should say no more. We've experienced these fields enough now to turn and write the history of the sand that we were sinking in. We can write the history and say that the sand that we were sinking in was full of debris because of everything that was being washed in that same mucky-fied sand, that same oily, greasy, all kind of transmission fluids and all other kind of oils and motorization and any kind of grease that allowed friction to be eased. Those were the grease. I sing about it tonight. And that can easily be done. It's orchestrated. It's almost like all of us is just watching the graves now filled with debris. Now filled with debris and cracking tombstones that is falling deeper and deeper and deeper, deeper down in the grave. Hope need to be worked. You just can't say hope. Hope don't go nowhere. Hope need to be worked. Faith need to be, you have to have faith, you got to do something in order to cause faith to be activated. The whole thing that I'm trying to show is no matter what you do in life, you got to do the whole thing. To do or not to do. Dr. King said, if I did not get off my horse to help this man, what would have happened to this man? If I did not. I'm not preaching to you. I told my grandmama, I said, I don't want to be a preacher. I told my mama said, you're going to make a great minister. I don't want to be the minister. You got a daughter to do that. I got a sister. My children are evangelists. I got children that sings and it's in the gospel field. I got poets. I got 15 children and all of them is artists. All of them is artists. But I can't put them in no bowl like that. Everything in that bowl is totally different. But it's a dip in the middle that makes it delicious. Or makes it different in taste. All I could do is say, children, you are the bowls of fruit.
The transmission is now over. If you want to learn more about Lonnie Holly or TCI Transmissions, please visit us at thecreativeindependent.com. Signing off.